theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, friends.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm really excited to get into part 3 of our India adventure.
Yes, indeed. It was a wild adventure. It was a great time. I can't wait to go back. I really can't. The more I think about it, not only the more do I want to go back there, but the hungrier I get because I love that Indian food.
Oh, so good.
I know I probably talk about too much, but you know what? It's true. I miss the yummy feeling in my stomach.
It is honestly some of the best curry we've ever had.
Yep, no question about it. So let's just start it off. I mean, so last we talked about how we were going to all these different institutions, giving lots of talks. I really enjoyed the last episode, but this time we're doing a little bit more of a transition. But before we leave Ahmedabad, we get the opportunity to meet with a top-level government official.
Yes, and this was really fun and interesting. And in the last episode, I talked about how at least in Ahmedabad specifically, we were starting to see, since we were getting a tour of, you know, the businesses, the educational institutions and everything, all how this ecosystem is continuing to perpetuate in this really entrepreneurial area.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And the last of the stakeholders that we got to talk with were the government officials. And we actually got to talk to one really interesting lady, top level government official, worked with the former president, Modi.
Yep.
And
she was in charge of business development in the state of Gujarat.
Gujarat, exactly. Yeah. And she was explaining to us why, you know, some of the initiatives that the government has specifically implemented to ensure that more entrepreneurial activity is encouraged, not only to, you know, just people who need the support, you know, adults, but also to the younger generation and really wanting to encourage specifically women to continue on into their own entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
at a young age.
It was surprising, but spectacular that she was a woman.
In
all honesty, I mean, I don't want to sound like a little ignorant, but you know, these, in a lot of countries, their typical individual who's a government official is typically a male, but to see a woman, like boss woman,
I'm telling, amazing.
We went into this, her office, you know, first you go through the business, you know, this is a government structure building.
Yeah.
And so it's like very high security,
double
checked everything, specific parking, like very, like there's eyes everywhere. And we finally get to the, like, it was like top floor, huge, like double door office,
huge
like
office.
with so many chairs. I mean, it was like, it was the real deal. And
it
I was like, oh, cool. Like, holy cow. She is a boss.
We really did feel honored to be there that she took the time. I mean, it was really a very brief meeting. It was like 15 minutes,
but
it was
busy.
She basically was like, just ask me anything you want.
And
like, I'll
did.
Tell you everything. And so I mean, we really did ask her so many questions, especially after we had gone to a lot of these different universities and we saw some of the, you know, actual students and innovations that were happening. And she said, yeah, this is very intentional. This everything, we're all working together to ensure that entrepreneurial activity continues to flourish and grow amongst all of our citizens here in the state of Gujarat. And so, you know, she was telling us they're providing various different grants, different scholarships. And a lot of those, since she's been in office, have been targeted towards women because they have found that there is significant economic wealth increase and uplift across the entire neighborhood, essentially, when women feel empowered to run their own businesses as well.
That's been found globally, but as they're doing their own studies on it, it's like, holy cow, this is working.
Yeah, well, it's like just thinking about how one generation was the only one to really forge into the field of entrepreneurship. You add a whole other gender to it.
Yeah.
50% of the, you know, people who just never participated. Now you're getting in a whole other gender to participate. It's really encouraging and exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we've lived in countries where, in all honesty, I mean, women were not working they weren't allowed to work in certain areas. And that was hard for us. It was definitely hard for you, but it was just, we didn't like it.
Yeah.
To see the opposite where it's like so focused on bringing more women in is such a beautiful thing.
It was really cool. So that was really fun, and that
meant
a lot.
You connected.
I connected with her a lot.
Really deep. We gave like little gifts, like to like you know, show like where we're from in Oklahoma, and she was just so sweet, but it was inspirational. I'd say for you especially, I felt for like sure. you were like, wow, I feel a really deep connection. And if anything, you know, the majority of the group that we were with were ladies, three ladies yeah. and two dudes. And I think that everyone left there like motivated and excited for like what's the future is going to entail.
For sure.
You know, women power. Let's
for
go.
For sure. Yeah. And it really showed us how when government, businesses, and educational institutions work together.
Yeah.
They like
so
really,
complicated.
Yeah. There's not a hierarchy structure. They're working together. Mm-hmm. How much impact that can really have. So that yeah. was a really profound moment for both of us, I think, on an international level for mm-hmm. sure. But then yeah. also, you know, definitely learned some takeaways that I felt like we could definitely bring over to the United States even.
Yeah, no, it was special. Yeah, so we went from that feeling all like excited about like what's next.
Yeah.
And this is the part where we ended up separating from the group a bit. So
yes.
each of the guests went their own separate ways to go and visit the individual that came to Oklahoma to work with us. So
yeah.
we got the opportunity to go visit our friend Piyush in his hometown and learn a little bit more of what he was working on, what was going on with him. And he was a graduate from Entrepreneurship Development Institute, so a lot of the professors there already did know him and they were excited, but we actually had to book a flight and it was kind of cool, like, oh, we're like domestically traveling in
yeah,
India
in
right
India.
Now.
The food was really good too, I have to say, on yes. that airplane flight. But it was really nice. We actually were really looking forward to this part of the trip because,
this
you know,
was local vibes.
Yeah, we spent so much time with Piyush in Oklahoma. We were going to get the mm-hmm. opportunity to meet his family and get to know where he's from, like yeah. what makes him. You know, there's nothing better. There's no better way to really understand a person than
Definitely.
Going back to where their roots are and where they came from. So
yeah. he was such a nice host. I'll never forget.
Great.
Like we. He picked us up at the airport, not him driving, but like the taxi. And it's such an amazing, you know, once again, wild ride driving down the roads
yeah.
again. And he took us, he was so nice. He took us to like a cultural center where we can like see some of the art of India and more specific to his city, his town.
His local region, yeah.
And it was really like special that he was like really treating us like his guests.
Yeah.
And I remember he was like all about like, can I take you out to eat? And I'm like, dude, you don't have to do all this. We're just grateful to be with you, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to take you to meet my family. And we were like, awesome. Like, can't wait. You know, like he lives with his family and that's a part of the culture is that you stay with your family, very close to your family
yeah.
throughout like a big part of your adulthood until you start your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to his hometown and like he showed us like the local mall and like we walked around and grabbed a few Kingfisher beers because in that state you could actually drink alcohol versus where we were at
yeah.
in Gujarat where it was not allowed.
Yeah.
And we got the opportunity to meet his parents and they did a very special ceremony for us the morning after for, in all honesty, it was like breakfast time.
It was breakfast time. We came to their house and which was so mm-hmm. beautiful. It was definitely in like a more rural area, but we walked up, there was a beautiful garden and we
yeah.
walked in, we met his mom and his dad and mm-hmm. his grandmother and his aunt and like so many people
yeah.
were there, and his mother actually made this beautiful feast
yeah,
for us
were,
all to have
they were
together.
Dressed to a T.
Yeah,
like they were
beautiful.
In gowns. It was really beautiful and they set the table up like it was like Christmas Day style.
It was so
you
nice.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they had a whole array of different normal typical Indian breakfast items.
Yeah, and they were a lot, several of them were local to their area too, like their specialty over
yeah.
in that region as well. And so we got to taste a lot of different flavors and different foods that we probably would never have tried. I mean, maybe we could have gotten them on this, you know, on the street.
Yeah,
but
perhaps, yeah.
It was so special that she cooked them herself. They prepared this whole meal. We had tea together. And then she set up this whole ceremony where she actually blessed us, which was
yeah,
so special.
It was kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, it's like, you're like being part of their, they're like bringing you in
yeah.
to their culture, their family, their rituals. And it was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Like she put, you know, a little red dot on both of our foreheads and, you know, basically said this, I wouldn't say it was like a chant, but it was like kind of like a prayer,
a
almost
blessing,
a
yeah.
blessing, yeah, for sure. And then put, you know, magnolia necklace of magnolias around us.
All over
and then spread petals all over us on our head and
sprinkled like some kind of like good smelling fresh water. Like
it was rose water.
Yeah, something like that. And it was just like, it was moving.
And then she presented us with these little gifts and it was it was just like, I mean, I was so blown away by the just warmth, the amazing love and amazing hospitality that they showed us. I mean, it was like, I felt so honored to be there. And we felt, you know, they expressed clearly like, we're just showing you, this is what we do anyways, but we want to express our sincere gratitude for you, you know, taking care of our son and teaching him all the things that he got to learn over in the United States and stuff like that.
And we spent so much time and it was really special. It was full circle. It was, to me, it was like full circle complete.
That was one of the best moments for sure. One of the best mornings I think we had. And we actually ended up going to the airport to meet back up with our group.
Yeah. And so we flew back to Ahmedabad, got back to my favorite hotel, the Crown Plaza, where I was treated like royalty. It was very nice. And we were getting excited for a little bit of a road trip.
Yeah. So we had plans to actually take a road trip over to Udaipur.
Yes.
Which was really exciting. We kind of knew a little bit about Udaipur, a little bit, just based on what the locals had told us. But we were really excited. It was just going to be like a change of scenery. It was going to be a little bit more touristy, you know, not so much
formal. Didn't have to wear a suit and tie every day.
Exactly.
And we were really looking forward to learning. Like, this is when we get, this is the transition. This whole episode is the transition of being able to experience the culture and understand the deeper roots of India and Ahmedabad and Gujarat specifically.
Exactly. So we took a road trip and we got to stop at a couple of different really significant historical spots, which was really fun.
Yes. The first one was called, I'm going to mess this one up, but it's called the Rani Ki Vav Temple. And this was an incredible, this was like a castle. I'm going to do my best. A castle that was dug up underground.
Yeah, it was excavated by archaeologists, essentially. It was discovered, and it was underground, so they had to excavate it, and they found, I mean,
it's insane.
Beautiful structure.
So we park, and we're like parked in a field, and we're like, what are we doing here? You know, you don't see anything when you're on flat ground.
Right.
And then you walk over, and you're realizing there's like a huge, huge hole in the ground, and there's some steps going into this hole. And as you walk into it, you realize that the steps are leading into what is basically like a temple's type castle where the columns are all carved out of the rock and the stairs are carved out of the rock. And this was like so old, and the attention to detail was unlike anything else. I mean, the columns had like women like in different shapes and different positions all around, like holding up the structure, and different like skulls and different like all different types of visuals that were just like encapsulating, where you could walk around and look at every single little detail for forever.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we just walked around and like went all the way to the bottom, went into different areas, and it was like kind of like, holy crap, I can't believe that they dug this. Like this was actually built by people like so long ago that just carved such amazing detail. I mean, it's a spiritual place. It's a temple.
It was
insane. I loved it. It was definitely an eye-opening experience to me. Like, oh, this is like the civilization of India. You know, this is the core.
Yeah, this is like ancient world, amazing hand-carved, you know, stone work. Unbelievable. I don't think I'd ever really seen anything quite like it. Especially, I mean, you really did feel like you were walking into an excavated site. And I'm like such a huge Indiana Jones fan.
Right.
You know, it was like, oh my gosh, this is where archaeology is at its best. This is amazing. And so they're really working to...
It was just so cool how it was like going down.
It was. It was...
entering a hole.
It was one of the coolest experiences.
Still never seen anything like that today. No. Like where it's like welcome down into it. You don't walk upstairs. You walk downstairs. And that was... It was really cool.
I know. That's an amazing story. And the next place that we went to was also just as spiritual, I think, to me for sure.
I found the easier name of this location. It's called the Sun Temple.
Yeah, the Sun Temple was beautiful. There were quite a few individuals, mostly locals, though, who were there. A lot of students.
Yeah, a lot of student field trip.
Field trips, that's exactly. And it was really... it was actually kind of funny because like we ended up taking lots of pictures with all the students who kind of caused like, oh, who are those people?
We stood out.
We don't see a lot of tourists around here. So, but the Sun Temple itself was just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it was, we were actually there for hours.
Right.
We were just walking around and looking at all of the different facets of this beautiful Sun Temple.
Yeah, this one, the way I describe it is the last one, you're like walking down into a hole and it's like one area. This one was very exploratory. You can walk all the way around over here and up these stairs and around this area and through the back. And you're just kind of like, it reminded me of like a little bit of like Angkor Wat, where it's like larger and you can like go find your own private space if you wanted to, or you can go find a dark corner if you wanted to, or you can find like a place that looks like where a lot of people pray. You know, you find your own private moment through experience. They did have one really, really cool area where it was surrounded by a man-made pond, like a perfect rectangle, stairs going from every angle. And I remember we did a time lapse there, and it's so amazing watching how the sun changes as it goes over this green water where people would like go down and like touch the water and you know, pray, because it's a very spiritual place. And you just watch the whole area, the scenery just completely changes. The sun moves because the shadow casts a different view as it moves. And you're just like, whoa, this is kind of a special place. I get the name Sun Temple now.
Yeah,
you know?
It was amazing. That was the place where I took my favorite selfie of all time with just a whole bunch of students there. I mean, it was just the best. So
it was cool. They loved taking photos with you. Like they would actively act. I don't remember if I mentioned this. Quinn was a celebrity, and these kids were like so stoked on like, oh my God, can I take a picture? And you were like, yeah, but can I take a picture with you too? And it was like, it was awesome.
It was just, everyone was so friendly and nice. And I think, I mean, I'm a 6 foot tall, blonde, blue eyed girl. So I definitely stick out for sure.
Don't forget that.
I'm trying to work on my tan, but it was just such a magical place. And I hope that we get the chance to go back there again sometime in the future. So, but then we kept on going down towards our road trip down along to where we were going. We weren't quite in Udaipur yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kept going. Do you remember when we actually ended up stopping off? I think it was like at a Burger King or something, or a McDonald's, and we got like
we were craving
Maharaja Mac,
I'll never forget it.
The Maharaja Mac. I mean, we all loved the food, but I think, you know, no matter what,
was our peak. Yeah.
This was when definitely some people in our group really, and we were too,
we were excited for it.
We were excited to get some fast food. Oh yeah. There's fast food in India. So, they're not big on beef burgers. So
they don't eat beef. They don't have beef.
Yeah.
They had the Maharaja Mac. And it was in chicken or in lamb form.
That's right.
And we got it. And oh my gosh.
It was delish.
You know, we've had these moments where sometimes when you're traveling, there is nothing like McDonald's.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to promote it too hard. Yes, Mom, I know it's unhealthy. I'm doing 20 push-ups a week. No. McDonald's is so amazing when you've been eating the same thing over and over and over and over again. And yes, it wasn't the normal Big Mac. This was the first time because usually when we're abroad, we always get the Big Mac. There's a Big Mac everywhere.
Yeah.
Not in India. The Maharaja Mac was back, and we were so grateful for it. It was so filling. We were re-energized and ready to keep on going.
Keep on going. So then we finally did make it to Udaipur.
Yep.
And we ended up, I think one of the highlights of the trip in Udaipur for sure was the Udaipur Palace.
Yes. This was so beautiful. So first we park and we're walking. So Udaipur has this beautiful lake, like big, beautiful lake right in the middle. No, I don't remember seeing like any big boats going through it. It was very flat water.
Yeah.
And right in the center of that lake is a palace, like a little castle.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the heck? There's like no way to get, like, how do you get on there? What is this for? Does someone really live there? How does this work? And this is when we got a history lesson on the Maharaj. And that's the Indian royalty, the Maharaja. That's essentially the king of each different state.
Yeah.
And when England got involved with taking over India, that's when a lot of these negotiations were going on, where a lot of these Maharaj made a ton of money, like so much money. And these were some of their freaking palaces, and it was insane to see. And this palace was in the lake specifically to keep it cool, because when it, you know, it's in the middle of the water, then the cooler air can breathe onto the palace. And it was like, they're like, I don't know, their extra little palace place, because they also had the main palace, which was just across the water.
Yeah, that was, that's, we ended up going, walking all around that area too. And that was super special. I mean, it was just enormous.
Yeah, it was beautiful, colorful.
Like, we don't really have stuff like this in the United States. No. So it's really a special that I think a lot of these families have opened up their places for people to come and just see what it's like to live there. I mean, they don't live in the whole palace. I mean, they only live in a smaller area.
Part,
so they actually allow the public to come through and just walk around and explore the history and the family's history and the area's history.
And it's crazy deep history. But there's still Maharaj living in there. The family's still living in there today. And you get to go back in time and walk through the palace and see the story of that palace, the story of their family, the story of their traditions,
the different ways that it was designed to like protect the palace also.
It was like castle style.
And some people had tours. We had our, you know, our locals walking around with us, and so if we had questions, we could ask like, what was this room for, and they would explain what the what that room was specifically for back in the day, you know. And and that there are like sometimes weddings and stuff like that. It was just it was really special and beautiful. But one of the coolest moments for sure was when we were walking through, and there was like this section of like, I think it was about more the prince and the current, automobile and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was the current family's
area. Family's history and like just getting the background on them. And we see this little framed picture of a car at a very familiar place for both of us at Pebble Beach. And that actually, the light bulb flicked on for us both. We're like, oh my gosh, wait, this is one of the families that actually came to Pebble Beach for the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance, brought their car because it was the first time, I think it was in 2012, the first time ever Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance featured a class for the Maharaja cars, for cars that were owned by royal families in India. And they were invited.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. But that was super cool. We were just kind of, we're like, wow.
Whoa, full circle. Like, holy crap. Like, we saw like our coworkers and our family like, in the picture.
Exactly.
And we're like, oh my God, there's a picture of like this, our life in there, framed on the wall in their palace.
That was
right
a
now.
Trip.
We were tripping out about
it. Yeah, that was amazing. But that overall, that was such a fun way to kind of like, you know, see the see Udaipur, see another place, you know, where we were able to just kind of relax and let loose a little bit more. Yeah. And we did end up going out and like, you know, drinking with each other and some other locals out in the local park area, which is very common and really fun too at night.
Yeah. I do want to bring up one more thing when we were in the palace, because I think this is like, this was my eye opening experience into the Maharaj world, was they had these incredible, huge paintings showing what it was like to go hunting for tigers in India. And they had on display as well, the guns and like the different types of weapons and all this stuff. And it's just mind boggling, like uncomprehendable, the amount of tigers that they had for one, and then how that was like a gaming sport and the way that it was set up for the royal and their guests to be able to go and hunt a tiger. I'm not saying I'm pro it at all. I'm actually very anti it, but back in the day, it's just an uncomprehendable thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird thing. Like, you know, hunting for like deer is one thing, but like tigers, live tigers, and they like set it all up for that. Dude, I was tripping out when I saw like that whole process and listed all the guests that they had during the British, you know, coming in. And it had every single person's name, and they were like all generals, like all associated with the British Royal Army. And it was just like, dude, what was this place like when this was going on? I mean, this is like real. It's one thing, whenever I think about like the king and the queen, of course, I always go to like the crown and I think about like the Queen of England.
Yeah.
But I never really thought about the different royalty in India.
Yeah.
And then to see it and like really like feel a lot of like what was right there, like touching the structure and seeing that, that's when I was like, oh dude, this is a monarchy, but on a different level. And I can only imagine, like, I can only do my best to make sense of what this was like in India, where everything's already flipped upside down and like shook, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, whoa. So that was like game changer moment for me, where I was like really feeling like I'm getting a better understanding of like the history of India. And that was my moment right there.
Yeah. I love that about travel, that it can really make history feel real, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
like
for sure.
a time before that you couldn't really comprehend, that maybe reading it in books is one thing, but to actually see it, that it actually happened, and to kind of put yourself in that time period.
Right.
It is a trip.
Cause it's not what it was. They do not have that much money and that much power as they used to.
Right.
They still have a lot.
It was a much different time.
So different now. And to see that that's kind of what, you know, the giants that came before them that set them up with this.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It is such a trip, honestly. Yeah. It definitely made us dive into understanding more about the history during British colonial rule.
Absolutely.
And prior to them as well. And I think anytime you go to a place and it makes you more curious about that area and its history is a good thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry I had to bring that up,
because that was a great one.
That was something that was monumental for me,
for sure,
eye-opening. So yeah, we left the palace and we got to go and explore the beautiful, would you call it a city? I'm gonna call it a city.
It's more like a town.
Like, it's like smaller buildings, not huge top high story buildings. You know?
Probably population wise, it would be pretty comparable to a city, but cities in India are
colorful,
huge,
colorful houses. It was so beautiful. I'll never forget it. And we get the opportunity to go, we get to have drinks again, which was nice. And I remember I had salad and I was like, dude, I haven't had salad in a long time. This is
I know.
And then, the last thing I wanted to bring up is, when we were leaving, we also got to check out some of the manufacturing that was going on there. And the one that I wanted to bring up was the most memorable for me was this incredible entrepreneur who, the first part he showed us was he made furniture.
Yeah.
But it was so weird. You know, it was crazy when I found out what it was. It was furniture that had hand-carved out white pieces within it that made these beautiful designs. So just imagine like a chair or a dresser drawer, but there's like this white, which it looked like ivory, shiny, different like plant and flower designs within it. And it's just like, it was gorgeous. And it stunk. The place smelled. And we were like, what is this? What's going on? And they said, it's camel bone.
Yeah.
It's freaking camel bone. And they carve this bone and place them into this furniture, and it looks phenomenal.
It's amazing.
I was like blown away. I was like, that's a genius business. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You got camels, you got bone, you know, that's waste anyways. Look at what you can create. And they had so many people working on it, because this is a handmade process where they're actually like, you know, carving out each little piece. Then we went to his bigger manufacturing facility. Do you remember that place?
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that basically we got to actually see the whole manufacturing facility from beginning to end. And he was really focused on, like you said, furniture.
Yeah.
And it was really more high-end furniture,
right,
too, that was being sold to, you know, like hotels and corporations, right, and stuff like that. But that was such a trip to be able to actually see it. And people were like working, you know, barefoot with their hands on the ground, piecing these things together. Everything was done by hand. And he got to actually show us like the whole process of processing the bones and how to actually get it to the point where they're able to start carving and actually building things and whatnot.
And so as a complimentary business to that business, he took gems, or what did you call them? Gems, like special rocks,
tiger eye,
you know, like the like shiny ones that you would get like at a rock store.
Yeah.
And they would carve those out into little tiny pieces, and they would like insert them into like marble tile.
Yeah.
And he was telling us about like one of his clients in like the Bay Area that's having him ship out all these tiles, and they have this huge design, and they're going to ship them out custom, where these were like colorful, like massive, like a 2x2 tile with just like so much detail, like 7 different colors, making almost like a whole rock mural in the tile itself. And then you piece it together when you get there, and then it's like the whole floor
is a
beautiful mural. And it was just, we watched the people make them, and they were like on the ground carving the littlest rock to fit in. Like, it was like doing a jigsaw puzzle that they were making the puzzle pieces for on their hands and knees. And this puzzle was going to be like, huge room, like a ballroom size. And they just were going at it like crazy, just like a little piece here. This one's supposed to be red. And they had, each person had their own little like printout of what exactly it was, you know, like fill in the color.
Yeah,
you know,
but it was.
With gems. Oh, it was so insane. I was just tripping out about it. I did ask them about pricing as like, I'm a curious entrepreneur or whatever. Dude, it was like so reasonable. It was insane. The most expensive thing by far was the shipping. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so amazed by what you're doing. I felt so connected to that guy.
Yeah, he was one of the nicest and most fascinating individuals.
Because
he was just in this, it was a very in the middle of nowhere factory, basically.
Right.
And he was really able to offer people around the world who were willing to spend money on it,
mm-hmm.
one of a kind, unique pieces,
customized
fully, flooring, customized so anything. And it was like, wow, you found a gap in the market.
Yeah.
And that was incredible.
He was great. And he gave us one of the best gifts for sure, which was like these bags of the gems themselves, like the rocks. And we kept them. We still have them.
Yeah, we do.
And they're like my good luck. I got like a couple in my car right now. And if, you know, they're my little good luck charm in
they're
my car.
They're beautiful too.
Really special. Yeah. So we'll have to get, we're going to go on to episode 4, but yes. We're grateful that we can share these kind of wonderful journeys that we've been on. And hopefully it inspires you all to get out there and go live your best life. We will be traveling again soon, my friends.
Yes, we will.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Enjoy this journey through sound.